Well, good morning, church. Thank you. You may take your seats. It is so good to be with you this morning. We spent the whole weekend with Designed at the youth camp. Is Designed here? Any designers here? In G-O-D? In G-O-D? I can't hear you. In G-O-D? In G-O-D? Thank you. So our theme for the camp was in G-O-D, I am VIP. What we wanted to get across to the youth was they are VIPs. It doesn't matter where, which group cast them out, but in God, they'll always be VIP. And our whole message the whole weekend was that God brought you here for a purpose. You are not a mistake. God was intentional when he created you. So you didn't just come and surprised him. You will always be a VIP to God. And I don't want now to give a full report of the camp, but the camp was just, it was amazing. And one thing that I've learned in just this past weekend is that God gives adults one box of energy per day and gives teenagers two boxes of energy per day. One for day and one for night. Because, yeah, as much as we could keep up with them, and trust me, we did keep up with them, but when it came to night, we're like, oh, no, you know what, we're getting tired now. And they're like, we are awake now. What's next? And we're like, no, it's bedtime. It's 10, it's 11, it's 12. Go to sleep. And they're like, no, we are awake. And it was just so amazing, church, to be with these young people. You know, when we arrived at the campsite, it only took them like 5 minutes for them to see, okay, the hall is here, the sleeping area is here, and they're all in a group. But after 5 minutes, they had already seen where their territory is, you know. They were roaming around, they were doing all the, and then during the activities, you could clearly see the leadership qualities coming out. You could clearly see who's the mediator here when there's conflict resolution is brought by this person. You can see who's taking the lead when it comes to ideas. And this is not stuff that we taught them. This was on day one at the camp. And I just want to encourage us as the church to know that God has got something in these young people's minds, hearts for the church. And we ought to give them that space that they can show us what God is doing in their lives and how they can impact us. It was amazing. Their energy was out of this world. And you know, one of the things was when we arrived there, we had to use stickers, name stickers, because we knew some of the kids that were coming to camp, and then others came after we had left Bulukwane. So we said, no, everybody, including the leaders, just put your name tag and it's easy. I tell you what, we know everybody by name now, because it just took one, two, or three activities, and you can see the characters coming out. I remember one of the girls was doing something, and then we blew the whistle. They know my blue whistle. I discipline with that whistle. When I blow the whistle, people must listen. So this girl was doing something else after I had blown the whistle. And then I called her by her name. I know her name. I'm not going to say it. I'm like, hey, you, so-and-so, come here. I blew the whistle. And then she looked back, and she's like, ah, he knows my name. And so, church, we really had a good time there. Some of the kids made sure that we really do know their name. Tatenda made sure with his energy and his dance. He's got this dance where he puts his leg out and then he shakes, and that's his signature dance. One of the games, he did it very early. He thought his team was winning, and he did it very early, that blindfold game. And then right as he was about to cross the line, he stepped on something, and then he had to go and restart again. So don't celebrate too early. So really, it was really amazing. And I think from myself and Zins, we thank you for trusting us with your kids. Many people out there that we believe you could have looked at and chosen. We ourselves, we young parents, our kids are very small, but we know what it means to release your child into someone else's care, and not just for protection that it's a slip out, it's a slip over somewhere else and you're not there, but you're trusting us with their salvation, you're trusting us with their hearts. And for us, we don't take it for granted. You're essentially saying, here's my child, teach them what you know, because we're seeing something in you. And we appreciate the church and the leadership for seeing something in us that you granted us that opportunity to come and impart something in your children's lives. We ran late yesterday because we wanted to honor the kids, and not just as a group. You know when you are at a place and they say, thanks everybody, we appreciate you, and then you go. You don't know whether they meant it, but we tasked Sispali and John that we need to honor each kid individually. So what we did was we had a crowning ceremony where we had crowns, a big one for a king and a glittery one for the girls to know that they're queens in the kingdom. And we apologize, parents, we ran late. We're supposed to be here by 3-4, but we ended up coming here at 5 because that took a bulk of our time, and it was a moment that we couldn't cut because it was very important. And we took time to speak into each and every child's life to know that they are indeed VIPs in the kingdom. So that really was amazing. And in honoring people, I really want to honor John and Bali, what they're doing. These guys, I came here in 2013, I left, I came back, and then I left again. They were doing this ministry thing. They were running. Yeah. So we really do honor you guys. Please keep on doing what you're doing. It's really amazing. All right, church, let's get to the message of this morning. The message that I want to share with the church today is gratitude. You know, gratitude, it changes everything. My wife shared a message there at camp where she was telling us about how her company was dealing with another company and there was a looming dispute. And people were so angry that it was going to be a big thing. And they said, no, Zins, you can handle this. You calm. Please go. And with humility and gratitude, she managed to change that whole situation. It could have been something disastrous. But because she was approaching it with, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to show them how grateful we are. And it completely turned around their perspective of the whole situation. That now that company that possibly could have fought with them are now much stronger, having a much stronger relationship with her company. So gratitude has the ability to change a situation. If it was going towards that direction, towards darkness, the light from God can come and chase out that darkness. And so she shared that message, and I thought, this is wonderful. I'm going to include it in my message this morning and also brag about my wife because, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not boast about anything except your wife. Okay, I'm joking. For those that didn't get that, the Bible doesn't say that. Thou shalt not boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. So if we are having gratitude, we can come into spaces, church, where things are seeming dire and we can be that difference. But the opposite happens when we are not having this attitude of gratitude. When we find ourselves saying things like, it is my right. I'm not going to do that because it's my right. You're not changing anything there. You find ourselves saying, I deserve it. We deserve nothing. We are nothing but sinners. We find ourselves saying things, well, it's about time someone looked at my way and gave me something. Everything is so narcissistic, it's pointing towards you. Even when people are reaching out to help you, You're saying, well, it's about time. You should have done this yesterday. Didn't you see that I needed it yesterday? Are we having the attitude of gratitude, or are we being self-centered in our ways? And if we do have these values, these are the wrong values that lead to wrong perceptions and lead to a wrong attitude. And that wrong attitude is going to burn our bridges. And we're not going to be able to say thank you. Just that thank you changes everything. And I want to illustrate this by going through three passages of scripture this morning very quickly, church, of how the attitude of gratitude changes the whole circumstance. When you think that you are down and out, that it's impossible, nothing is going to happen now. Take me now, God. Might as well. But if we just switch on that attitude of gratitude, the situation changes. Let's go to Mark 6, verse 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, I'm not going to get into it, but earlier on, Jesus had gathered up the apostles and he had spread them out and said, two by two, go this direction, go to that village, go to this town, go and preach the good news. So we're picking it up here where he's saying that the apostles are giving the report back. So the day didn't just start now. They had been busy the whole day. Then because there were so many people coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Underline quiet place. And get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late. It was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them food. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heavens, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them. They all ate and were all satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. All right, we can go home now. We're done. Isn't that amazing? There's a couple of points that I just want to highlight in this passage. These guys were very tired. Jesus calls them. He says, I know you're tired. You haven't eaten. Let us go to a solitary place where you can get rest. How many of us are still having time to go into a solitary place to get rest with Jesus? And yet he's instructing them. He says, come to a solitary place. Come and be with me. They're having this opportunity. Are we allocating that time in our busy schedules to be alone with our Father, to glean on him, to listen to him, to what he has to say about our busy schedule? And that's the whole point. So while they were doing this, the apostles had the opportunity to go away with him. But the crowds followed. And they were moving from one village to the other village to the other village so that when they dock on the other side, they will find the crowds there. And other apostles are saying, now we're stuck. We're not going to be able to get food. We're not going to be able to get rest. Jesus sent these people away. But the word of God says, when Jesus saw the large crowds, he had compassion on them. There is no way that a person who does not have an attitude of gratitude is going to have compassion to someone else. Because everything is about them. Jesus knows that his power, his might, his ability to make all these miracles happen does not come from him. So he looks up to the Father. He's always saying, Father, thank you. Not my will, but your will be done. Not by my strength, but by your strength that you give, that you pour out unto me. And this is where Jesus is coming in and saying, I'm seeing all these crowds, and they're probably hungry. And he had compassion over these people. Verse 37, he says, you give them something to eat. When I was reading this, I was like, I wonder, was this an instruction? John said, I'm in the police, so when an instruction comes from a senior, it comes. I'm going to still kick you for that, because he knows that if he had told me he's going to mention my career, I was going to tell him no. So he did it without telling me. But sometimes an instruction comes as if it is something to be frightful of. And I really don't think that Jesus here was being so authoritative over them. But he was saying, guys, open your eyes. You are not seeing what I'm seeing. These people have gathered here so that they can be amongst us, so that they can hear the good news. The least you can do is to give them food. I think that was the point of departure here. You say, open your eyes. You see, the disciples were very short-sighted because they were not looking at what do the crowds have to gain, but they were looking at what they were to lose. We're going to lose a half a year's wages, and we're not going to get our rest. But Jesus says, but did you look on the other side? What is the impact of what you're doing? When you sacrifice and come here to church and sweep these floors and people come here and hear the word of God, you sacrifice your time. You go away from your kids. You go away from your family. When you come here and you wash windows and you're volunteering so that this can be the storehouse where people can come and have their stomachs filled and have their hearts filled by the word of God, what is the impact? You losing something, but what is the gain? And they're asking this with the benefit of only one person, but they're saying those were crowds, those were multitudes. Over 5,000 men ate and drank. Oh, this is a good one. Verse 38. We talked about this, we talked about a rhetorical question at camp. We all know what a rhetorical question is. A rhetorical question is a question that does not need an answer. So the person who's asking it probably already knows what the answer is. Jesus is asking them, how many loaves do you have? And then he says, go and see. That go and see is not go and see that there's five and two. But he's saying to them, go and see what God has provided for you to use. Don't just look with your physical eyes. Look with your spiritual eyes. What impact can you have on these multitudes that are here? Do you have the faith that these five loaves and these two fish can feed these people? Are you opening your eyes? One last point on this one, then we're going to move on to the second one. Jesus took the bread and he looked up to heaven and he blessed the bread. Broke it up and he said, thank you, Father. You've given this to us. And as the disciples were giving the people to eat, it started to multiply. It started to multiply. How many of us are sitting there waiting for Jesus to come and save us, waiting for God to come and save us? And God is saying, I've already done it for you. You just need to receive it. You need to step out of your boat by faith and start moving. And then you're going to see things happening. So, The last point that I want to emphasize is that when everybody had finished eating, there was still so much more left over. You know, when you're having an attitude of gratitude, you get to see how God is blessing you day in and day out. And that God will continue to fill up your storehouse, that you will have not just enough, but your blessings will be overflowing. The disciples were looking at the situation and saying, this is dire. We're not going to be able to feed everyone. They fed everyone and there was still more left over. That was the first one. The second one, let's go to John chapter 11. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone and laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the story of Lazarus. Jesus, the death of Lazarus was not one that was a normal death. Someone has passed away. This dearly touched Jesus. Because if you know, they took time to get to him to report to him that Lazarus had passed. And then he traveled, and when he got to the tomb, he was surrounded by mourners. And he said, no, open up the tomb. Martha was not convinced. He's saying, he has been there for 4 days. We can't do that. He is probably in an advanced stage of decomposition now. We can't do that. Jesus reminds her to say, we have already taught you this, that if you practice your faith, you're going to see the glory of God. Why are you doubting God in situations? When you're facing trials, when you are being tested, you still doubt that God is going to be able to come through for you. He says, you already know this. Have faith. And I was thinking about this. Maybe the biblical scholars will assist us. I would like to actually find out what exact moment, second or two, millisecond, when Lazarus woke up. Was it when Jesus said, wake up, come out? Well, in fact, he didn't say wake up. He said, come out. Was he awake at that time? I don't know. I would really love I'm putting it out there, really love to learn. The second one, which I am being steered towards, did Lazarus come back to life when Martha started to believe the words that Jesus was saying? When Jesus said, if you exercise your faith and know that this is possible, that we can bring him back to life, then open that tomb. I believe that it was at that moment when she said, you know what? He is right. And I think that was the exact moment before they even opened the tomb. It's not biblically backed. I would like the scholars to say. But by her exercising her faith, this managed to happen? By Jesus reminding her of the truth that she already knows. Lazarus came back to life. And what does Jesus say immediately after that? Father, I thank you. It's not me. I thank you, O Lord, that you hear me. And he goes on to explain himself. He says, God, I didn't even need to explain myself to say thank you for hearing me, because I know, I am certain of this, that you always hear me. But I wanted these people around me to know that I didn't come here by my power or by my strength, but you sent me. Jesus was always having this attitude of gratitude. Lazarus came back to life. And the first thing Jesus says, thank you, O God. Thank you for your power, for your strength. And I don't know what your Lazarus is this morning, church. But if you having the faith and trusting God, he can bring your Lazarus up from the dead. The last point on this one. There's an emphasis that was put on the 4 days to say he's been there already for 4 days. And when Jesus says, open the tomb, what Martha is saying, he's been there for 4 days. There's no way he's going to come back to life. And what the Jews believed in those days is that when a person passes away, his spirit still lingers around his body. So maybe they may have seen somewhere where someone is declared dead and maybe is brought back to life somehow after a minute or 2 or 5 minutes, one day. But it was unprecedented that 3 days would pass and then on the fourth day someone would come back to life. So their belief was that anything within these 3 days can still happen because the spirit of this person is still lingering around his body. But on the fourth day, that was it. It was the belief that on the fourth day, the spirit is gone and it's gone forever. And what does Jesus do? He shows up on the fourth day. He shows up on the fourth day and he says, what you thought was impossible, with God it is possible. Your situation, when you feel like you've given up, you're ready to throw in the towel, and you're saying, Jesus, this is my day 4. This is not going to happen. God says, I'm about to get started. And he rolls up his sleeves. So I just want to encourage you, church, that even when you feel despondent, that your situation may be so high, huge mountain to climb. If you have this attitude of gratitude and you understand that you're not walking alone, but you're walking with Christ, your situation can turn from this direction and straight into the light. Are you still with me? Do you still remember the first one? Number 3. Here's the third one that I want to illustrate how the attitude of gratitude really does change situations. We look into the scriptures, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at the distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, are you listening, church? And as they went, they were cleansed. Not when Jesus first met them. Jesus didn't say, zim zalab zim. You are now healed. And then now you must go. He said, oh, you have leprosy. Go. You go and show them that you are healed. You are clean. And they were probably still having the scars and things on their arms and bodies and their legs. And Jesus is telling them, you are clean, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, because they had faith in what Jesus had told them, and as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, when he saw, because they were en route, he came back praising God in a loud voice, praising God, attitude of gratitude. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, a foreigner. Jesus asked, were not all 10 of you cleansed? Does that sound like a rhetorical question? Do you think Jesus knows or doesn't know if all 10 were cleansed? Jesus is making a statement. He's making a mark. Weren't all 10 of you cleansed? Why is there only one that's coming back to praise God? What happened to that other 9? They've lost their attitude of gratitude. They got what they wanted. Narcissistic tendency. It is me. I deserve it. Jesus, it's about time. We've been waiting. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to who? To God. Not to him. Can you see the gratitude that Jesus has? He's the one who instructed these people who had leprosy to go because they were healed. But he says, your healing didn't come from me. Why are the other 9 not coming back to praise God? Not me, to praise God. And he says, the only person who's coming back is a foreigner. We are in the church and we lose our attitude of gratitude while we call ourselves the sons and daughters. And an unbeliever out there comes here, hears the word of God once, he's helped, and he says, I am here to bow before the throne. This is a scripture that's challenging us to test and check our hearts. Where are we? Are we showing gratitude to God? And you know, I believe the more gratitude you show, the more blessings you are able to identify in your life. The scarcity mentality, where you say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Even when someone gives you something, you say, ooh, this is small. I still don't have anything. But if you've got the mentality of plenty, I am blessed. I am forgiven. I am a son and daughter in the kingdom, and nothing is ever going to shake me on this. God has given me all that I need to sustain my body and to sustain my soul. Then you are able to identify the blessings and the more and the more and the more that he gives you each and every day. Jesus says to the foreigner, rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. You know, the beginning of this passage, it says Jesus was walking on the border of Samaria and Galilee, the Samaritans and the Jews. And he's preaching his good news, he's going on about his business. Why would the Messiah not go from city to city? He's God. He's the Son of God. He can have all the riches that he wanted. He didn't have to, I don't know what you say it in English, but in Xhosa we say, we are gwegweleza. We are gwegweleza. You are going along the border. You're not going straight. You're not going from Polokwane to Pretoria to this place, to that place, that is prominent. Jesus chooses to go along the border. You know why? Because people who were outcasts, that were not VIPs, were cast out of the city. If you have leprosy, you are dirty. You are declared a delinquent. You are unworthy. You can't stay in the city. How dare you stay here with us? Go and stay, settle there by the border, far from, because you're going to give us your sickness. And Jesus chooses to go there where the people who have been cast out are at. And I want to encourage you this morning that you may feel like you've been cast out. Whatever situation it may be, just know that Christ will always come to you. Christ will always come and find you. Had Jesus gone from one city to the other city to the other city, there's no way that those people, those lepers, were going to bump into Jesus. Because they were not allowed in the city. And Jesus says to him, to them ten, go and present yourselves to the priests. Do you understand the gravity of what he was telling them to do? The priests were not staying by the border. The priests were so held up high, they were staying in the cities. And he says, you are an outcast. You are the bottom. You are at the bottom of the food chain when it comes to society. And I'm telling you to go to the people who are leading society and show them how good your God is. If we have this attitude of gratitude in our lives, church, God is always there. God is showering us with blessings each and every day. We need to rejoice in His presence. We need to acknowledge His presence. And so this morning, as I'm closing, I want to encourage you not to take this life for granted. I want to encourage you to pay attention to what God is doing in your life. I want to encourage you to pay attention to what God is doing in this church. We are not here by mistake. God has a purpose for each and every person. We are all members of His body with different functions, purposed, fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to encourage you to count your blessings. The more you count your blessings, the more you identify. The more you count your blessings, it's not the more God blesses you. He's already blessing you, but you're not identifying. So the more you count your blessings, the more you identify the blessings that you've been missing. And number three, I want to encourage you to practice the thank you. You know, thank you goes a long way. Thank you goes a very long way. When people sacrifice their time, sacrifice what they have in their pockets, sacrifice their food, sacrifice their clothes off their backs to assist you. A simple thank you goes a long way. It changes the situation. It changes the narrative altogether. And as we journey through this, identifying our attitude of gratitude, it's not going to be easy. It hasn't been easy. And now that you're conscious of it, it's even going to be more challenging. And with that, I want to encourage you with these three points that it could be worse. It could be worse. You are here now, but before you met Jesus, you were not here. You didn't know the truth. Your suffering now is not as it was before. I want to encourage you to understand that life is full of seasons. Winter may come, but Christ stays constant. Summer may come, but Christ remains in your life. And the last one, as I close, do not ever forget your testimony. You know, your testimony is the most powerful message you can ever preach. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Shortly after I finished high school. I was part-timing church. It's so funny to think of it now. You're like, stupid. But we thank Jesus. Stupid. After I finished my trick, I was still going to church, not going to church, no relationship, no connecting, no nothing. I was not plugged in. I would go to church when I feel like it. And sometimes that was once a month or once in 2 months. Go show up, sing. As soon as they say amen, I'm out, my car out, because I did my 2 hours. That's enough. And one of the Sundays, one mama came up to me. We can stop the song and we can allow the worship team to play something just softly. Came up to me after church and she said to me, I will never forget her. And I still honor her to this day. It's Mama Nandi Macibela. It had to have a click because she's closer. Macibela. And she came to me. Mama Nandi said, Siba. What are you doing? You are part-timing church. You are here, then we don't see you for 2 months, 3 months. Then you are here. Are you staying here in East London? I'm like, yeah, I stay here. She's like, then why are we not seeing you every Sunday at church? I'm like, well, I didn't have an excuse. Because when I was not going to church, I was sitting at home doing nothing. So when she asked me that question, I didn't understand. Well, I didn't have an answer for her. And she said to me, the words at that moment, they didn't do anything to me. But now that I think back, they resonate with me so much. She said to me, Siba, you must take this Jesus thing seriously. And now that I've met Christ all these years later, I realize that this Jesus thing really was just a Jesus thing. I was not having gratitude for what I had been given. I was not having gratitude for my sins having been cleansed when I'm just a sinner who doesn't deserve it. And so I started coming to church more regularly. I didn't have lightning and things happening and then I was born again, everything happened. No. I still came to church, but I was now more intentional coming to church. And then one of the days, Pastor Robin was preaching, and I still had this doubt in my heart. Am I a son in the kingdom? Is Jesus really my Lord and Savior? And when they did the altar call that Sunday, I could feel that seat getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And God saying to me, come to me, my son. You are a son in the kingdom. You are welcomed. I stood up. Pastor Robin did an altar call. There was a little bit of a confusion because he was saying, those who are responding to this message, come up to the front. So I went there because the seat was hot. I went there running. And there I am. And then he prays for us. Yeah, God, you know, they're responding to the words. Thank you, amen. And people start to go sit down. I'm like, I didn't do my prayer. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So as he was turning back, coming up to the stage after the prayer, I tapped him. I said, no, you didn't understand. I didn't come up for that. I wanted to rubber stamp this decision that I am making. And I wanted to pray this prayer in front of all these magnitudes that they can witness and that I can know that Jesus really is in my heart. And on that day, I remember it was the 22nd or 23rd of August, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, 2009. And from that day, I have never doubted that I am a son in the kingdom. So I'm going to invite you, church, to stand up. We're going to pray. If we can just close our eyes, bow our heads. I would like to give an opportunity now to anyone who's having that doubt. You heard the message this morning. But you're not sure if you are a son. You're not sure if you are a daughter in the kingdom. If that's you, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to bring you up to the front. We're not going to take names, start calling you and doing all these things. But what we want you to do this morning is to register your name in the book of life. What we want to encourage you to do is to pray the prayer that accepts Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your life will never be the same again. If that is you and you here, if you can just raise a hand and we'll pray with you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. See that hand at the back. Oh, that's beautiful. Church, can we accompany them in this prayer? Can we all repeat after me? Father, we thank you for this day that we come before you with praise. We thank you for your word. And today, we make a declaration that we will never be the same again. We accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Take the steering wheel and take control. I lay my life all to you. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've used me as the vessel, Lord God.
Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, that you saw me fit. Jesus. I am nothing, O God. All glory to you, O Father. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word with your children. May they walk out of this place, Heavenly Father God, changed. May they know, Heavenly Father God, that you are there to bless us. That, Heavenly Father God, when we exercise our gratitude, we will forever see you in our lives. May they, Heavenly Father God, without having seen signs and wonders and miracles, but be able to step out in faith, knowing that, Heavenly Father God, you'll always be there with them. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for People's Church. I thank you, Lord, for the foundation that continues to be shared with your children in this place. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is pure, that comes out of the people's mouths that are part of this congregation, O God. I bless each and every child, Heavenly Father, that comes to this church. May they grow up to know and to serve you, to kingdom come. Pray this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, church. Can we give glory and honor and praise to God? Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Church, can you take your seat for just a couple of moments? As Dr. Siba explained, that we honored our youth yesterday.